Blog Talk Radio.
Of the True Israelites, with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise His righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Live, Yahuwah's Radio. Worldwide International Radio Broadcast, Yahuwah's Radio is now on the air. I be your host, by name, your seer, Israel, of Seed Royal. We're doing a series called Unlocking the Biblical Mystery, the Deep Dark Sands of the Bible, take number 41. And we're going to go straight and bring our elder in. He'll tell you all about the broadcast. And number one thing, it comes on the regular days at 6 o'clock. Tuesday is the only day that we have no broadcast on this broadcast, but you can go to Pal Talk and you can watch all of the dignitaries on the Voices of the True Israelites on Pal Talk from 8 o'clock until. So good enough. So we're going to bring our elder in and tell you all about the broadcast. The Unlocking the Biblical Mysteries, Deep Dark Sands of the Bible, Take 41, and our elder, Mr. Tibbs, to tell us and you all about it. So when you meet our elder, with a loud voice, you say, Elder Mr. Tibbs. Yahuwah be there, see you.
And Yahuwah bless you, see Israel, see well. All of you, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Rada El. One thing about it, we know the fox tail have been lit and the curtain have went up. And all we supposed to do is just continue this series called Unlocking the Biblical Mysteries, the Deep Dark Sands of the Bible, take number 41. So whatever you got to set the stage and tell the national audience, take your time now, Elder. The floor is yours. Take your time. You're on the clock. Come on.
Well, once again, God bless you, Seer Israel, and thank you for bringing me into tonight's broadcast among a cast of hundreds of thousands of listeners that came to hear the righteous words of Yahweh. And I always say that's a good thing, because when you're led in the correct direction, you will be able to enter at the gate that is spoken of in the Bible, that narrow gate. Too many people that we know have too much leeway and no guidance. They fall left and they fall right. They miss the target. Like a sharpshooter shooting, he never hits the bullseye. Well, in the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, let's see what that has to say. 13 says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. 14. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, few there be that find it. And this is what we try to do, lead you into the righteous words of Yahweh, so you can find that life that you're looking for. You end up finding out that a teacher can't learn from his students, because he's giving wise counsel. But having knowledge, he gains even more experience by teaching. And now a student can learn from wise counsel, possibly learning to teach one day themselves. And this shows well in all the six camps that teach. We have to be aware. By knowing the scriptures and the Bible precepts, we're given the knowledge to know there are those out there that camouflage mostly confused teaching and overly loud bumper-gums contest for righteous learning, even sometimes using Bible scriptures as verbal weapons against us that know. This is why we're here, to help guide you through these dark times of bad teaching, wrong-taught Christianity. We welcome and thank you for attending a live broadcast of Yahweh's ministry that comes to you live and open to you all ways with new and exciting topics from the King James Bible, and first and foremost about Yahweh's word. Learning how to connect the Bible books, your health, foods that you should eat, and keeping the Sabbath days. We do all this because you have not. This is information you came to seek, and have to look no further. You've now found that in the voices of the true Israelite, tribe of God. We're open unto you, as we said earlier, from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And those days are Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Having no class on Tuesday, but we do have a Sabbath class. The top part of Sabbath is Friday. The current time of that class is from 7:30 to 10:30. And the bottom part of Sabbath is Saturday. There's a temple class that starts at 12 p.m. and the online class that starts at 2 to 5 p.m. until the temple members desire to leave. We also have a website address. To use this on any search line, enter tribeyada.com. And after you click in it, just under this liner, you're going to see some choices. One will be tithes and offerings. Click PayPal and follow the instructions. In the other device, you might see menu. But after clicking this, you'll again still see your choices. Still choose the tithes and offerings. And doing so, remember what it tells all of us that reads the Book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7 and verse number 8. 7 says, give unto the Yahweh, for you kindreds of the people. Give unto the Yahweh glory and strength. 8. Give unto the Yahweh the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come unto his gifts. I always remind everyone that when you're doing this, to remember that Yahweh loves the joyful girl. And also donations to this ministry is greatly appreciated, that you give according to the Bible scriptures that are read in the book of Leviticus, chapter 27, verse number 30, and once again read in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 8, and verse number 9. This is done to keep this ministry bringing you SES worldwide. Also for building the school, which is very well needed and beginning to see on a daily basis. Our banquet hall, radio station, and land to go to health foods, we continue to speak of on this program, Hallelujah. Also, while there, check the calendar. The calendar will help keep you, your family, and friends in tune with the Bible feast days that come to all of us throughout the year. We also have a live program. You'll find its features available during the live broadcast time. Just enter Yahuwah Radio Live. And after you click enter, look for the Voices of the True Israel, Tribe of Yahuwah. And click the red live button as soon as it appears. It'll put you right into our live online broadcast. Well, we even have two email addresses that the listening members can use. The first is tribeyahuwah@gmail.com. This is for writing your written opinions and questions of a biblical subject matter or related topics. The other is yahuwahisrael@gmail.com, also for biblical subject or related topics. We even have a few numbers you can call with Yahuwah. The first is our live conference room number, which is 319-527-6065. The other is 224-600-5579. This is our international number, where you can call and leave a message on the scripture that you have questions on, which can be answered by any one of the six anointed camps of Yahuwah's ministry. Also, by calling this number, you will notice that we always say, do not call, turn to teach. You will only hear a discouraging click followed by a dial tone. This is why, when you call this number, 224-600-5579, you will be able to ask questions on scriptures that can be answered by anyone of the 600 accounts of the Yahuwah's ministry. Also, you can order what we have known as the 12 programs via the 12 Tribes of Israel on DVD. On another note, we might ask, please do not contact the seer, the email, phone, or text before broadcast or after. You'll find he's usually pretty busy with the WCC, the New York Station stockholder, Mr. Cigar Man, announcing many memos, as most of us will see. And now even in addition to that, the Latter-day Saints. So please use the international line of 224-600-5579. And if the question is legit, you will receive a call back, unless you call trying to teach. You will only hear a discouraging click followed by a dial tone. Now, for those of you who have missed the beginning of our program, you can catch the entire show today at 9:15 p.m., except Fridays. Program time will be repeated after 10:30. To get there, just enter three words, Yahuwah Radio Live. And after clicking on, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yahuwah. Choose the program you are late logging into or any previous day that you would like to listen. So we can start to listen to those words and learn. We'll pass our program over to our seer Israel and say, Avaru, Yahuwah.
All right, Yahuwah. Hallelujah, Yahuwah on that. But I'm going to spread your books out a little bit there, Elder. Young Lions did make a memo saying they'd be a few minutes late by coming to the broadcast. And so you called on to, like I said, hold out until them young lions get ready to go. But one thing we do know who ready to go, no problem. Look, see, you just get the broadcast open by the elder, I'm ready to go. So we're going to see who coming on stage for the next episode. And sooner or later, you will be hearing Sister S.V. Judah Israel. She says, see, I'm warming up now. I'm just warming up. Just keep on talking. Let me get my act together, and I'm going to holler in that microphone one day real soon, too. All right. So Judah Israel will be waiting on you to give us a sign saying you got it down pat, and you ready to come on stage and holler in that microphone. That's what it's all about. Remember one thing. It's the boat. You get to a Matthew 25:21. The James 5:20. That's the game changer right there. Matthew 25:21. That's what you want out the Almighty. Well done, my good and faithful servant. That's what it's all about. If he blessed you to do something, step to the plate, take care. That's what it's all about. Because one thing about it, matter of fact, let me, before we get to Luke 12, Elder, let me see how I bring Mother in. And we're going to take a look at, see, can you find me that Matthew chapter 6, 1, 2, 3, 4, there, Elder? Have that waiting on me. But I'm going to bring Mother in right now. Hey, Mother E from the tribe of Yada Judah out of Camp 1. Hey, Mother E. Y'all quite bid you there, see you right here.
Yahweh bless you. See you, Israel. See you, Roy. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh, that Mother E. All right. And we know Mother Z is sitting there at the desk getting her papers and her five markers. And look, see, you just put them on the table. I'll give you my commentary later on in the broadcast. Put them on the table if I can write something down. So you will be hearing from Mother E. The latter part of the broadcast, she's going to give a commentary on what she heard out of the night's Cake 41 or what the Almighty put on her to tell you. And over on the international side is packed down over 700,000 plus and counting on the international side. So one thing about it, the box tail had been lit, the curtain had went up, and Elder, Mr. Till, take a look before we give us some Luke 12. Can you help the old seer out in Matthew 6, 1, 2, 3, 4? What did that say there, Elder, Mr. Till? Help the old seer out before we get us some Luke chapter 12, verse 12. Come on. Elder, Mr. Till? What old Elder?
Okay, Luke chapter.
Yeah, not Luke 12. I don't want that yet. I just want to throw Matthew's. Matter of fact, I'll tell you what. We'll let Mother pull that up and you get my Luke ready. Hey, Mother E, what it says that we can read in Matthew chapter 1, 3, 4. What's going on there, Mother? We open up tape number 41. But we come back with our elder and give us some Luke 12 shortly. But look at Matthew chapter 6, 1, 2, 3, 4. Every now and then I'm good for a little zeal every now and then. What can we read out of Matthew 6, 1, 2, 3, 4? Hey, Mother E, what does it say? Come on.
The book of Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. Verse 1, take heed that you do not your own before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father, which is in heaven. Verse 2. Therefore, when thou doest thine own money, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the street, that they may have honor of men. Truly I say unto you, they have their reward. Verse 3. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. Verse 4. That thy alms of money may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly.
Mm-hmm. So he says, make sure you're genuine on whatever you own. Make sure you're genuine. He said, whatever you own, if it's about Almighty's business, make sure you're genuine about it. He said, you don't need no pats on the back. Just make sure it's about the Almighty. And he's going to be looking at you because he's going to put the spirit on you to do so. Then all of a sudden, you're going to start seeing yourself. Mother, you're going to start seeing the 61st chapter, verse 7 of Psalms, and then we get up to Luke 12. Then all of a sudden you will start noticing 61 verse 7 of Isaiah there. Hey, Mother E. And all of a sudden you're going to notice something in the 61st chapter, verse number 7. Can you help those see what it says in Isaiah 61, verse 7? What did it say there, Mother E? What did that say?
The book of Isaiah, chapter 61, verse 7. For your shame, you shall have double. And for confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess, be double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them.
He said, I put your shame and your confusion. Because, you know, we very confused because we thought we know the order of things. And then all of a sudden we start, what you'll start noticing different is in the setting of your mind. You get more stable and you get more bounce to your house in the mind. Because what you thought was a mountain, it become a mole long as you stay in his word. Then he'll give you the double. It starts in your mind. Then it works itself all the way down to whatever it needs to be. Once you understand the rules and the regulation of the Bible. No saying on that. Hey, Elder, look at that Luke chapter 12, verse 12, real carefully, Elder, and help those see it out. Luke chapter 12, verse 12, what did it say there? Elder, Mr. Tibbs, come on. Elder, Mr. Tibbs.
Okay.
Got a little...
Sorry about that.
Yeah, what did it say,
Luke? About the late, the delay there. But anyway, in the book of Luke, chapter 12, verse number 12, it says, for the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say.
See, you want that righteous spirit to teach you. That righteous spirit, in layman's term now, is called the angel of the Holy Ghost. You want to make sure whatever you do, you got that righteous spirit teaching you and guiding you. That's what you want. Now, matter of fact, Elder, can you help me out in Psalms 91, verse 1 down to verse 4? Let me explain something to you. Once you got this righteous spirit working with you, you'll know it. Because in Psalms 91, Elder, 91, 1, 2, 3, 4, what that say that we can read for this national audience in Psalms 91, 1, 2, 3, 4. Elder, Mr. Tibbs, you on the clock. Come on.
In the book of Psalms, chapter 91, looking at verses 1 through 4, 1 says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. 2, I will say of the Yahweh, he is my refuge to my fortress. He is my refuge to my fortress. Two, I will say of the Yahweh.
Yeah.
He is my...
Hey, hold on. Start that all back over because big time Robo, he drowned you right on out. So you have to start that all back over again. Psalm 91, 1, 2, 3, 4 there. Come on.
Psalms 91, verses 1 through 4 reads, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. 2, I will say of the Yahweh, he is my refuge and my fortress, my Yahweh, in him I will trust. 3, surely he will deliver thee from the snare of the flower and from the noisome pestilence. 4, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shall thy trust, his truth, shall be thy shield and buckler.
Mm-hmm. He said you gotta trust his truth. And see, that's what we're trying to find out about Edom. We're trying to find out, well, what is truth? We need to know his truth. Maybe we can find out a little bit about his truth by looking at Matthew chapter 15, 1 down to verse 9. Mother E, have me verse 13 and 14 waiting on me. Look at Matthew chapter 15 there, Elder. See about, we want to find out what is his truth and what is not his truth. What is he wanting us to always be aware of? In Matthew chapter 15 there, Elder, look at 1 through 9, and Mother E going to pick it up around about verse 13 and 14. What does it say that we can read there, Elder? Come on. The book of Matthew, chapter 15, 1 through 9. We got a great big delay, WCC, World Council of Churches. We got a big delay. So, in a way, you can work it out a little bit. Matthew 15, 1 through 9. Here, Mr. Tibbs, come on.
In verse number 1 through 9, it says, then came to Yahweh the Son, scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, 2, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. 3, but he answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandments or instructions of your Yahweh by your tradition? 4, for Yahweh commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curses the father or mother, let him die the death. 5, but ye say, whoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me. 6, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of the Yahweh none effect by your tradition. 7, ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah's prophecy of you saying, 8, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honors me with their lips. But their hearts of mine is far from me. 9, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men.
He says, in vain they worship me. He said, they teaching from what some man don't say. See, you got a lot will teach what a man, they'll quote the man more than if they'll quote the creator. See, that's the game changer. Always quote the man that made the man, not the creature. Quote the man that made the man, you know? So that's what we're going to take a look at in the ninth episode. Now, Mother, in that Matthew chapter 15, and we see the young lion, one of them young lions came on stage, so we're going to bring him in behind this. Let's see in Matthew 15 there, Mother. What it said we can read in verse 13 and 14. Hey, Mother E, what do Matthew chapter 15, verse 13 and 14 say?
The book of Matthew chapter 15, verse 13 and verse 14. Verse 13. But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. 14. Let him alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch.
You hear what you say? He said, now, you got blind leaders. And if the blind lead the blind, you both going to fall in the ditch. So you got to make sure you're not leading a blind leader, because here's the point. bring our young line in, and we'll, matter of fact, Mother, read how we're supposed to operate so we can read. Look what it says in Deuteronomy 8, verse 3 on the left side of the book there, Mother. Hey, Mother E. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, now, young line, bring up that historical document, facts about the Vatican City. I want to, in 2009, around 2009, the Vatican City made a profound statement that they, that the Pope wrote to all of his bishops. And it, and Pope is the head of the Catholic Church. Pope is the, so if you are Catholic, I mean, you are Christian, I mean, the Pope is the head of all the Christians. So he wrote something to all the Christians, but he first had all the big dignitaries of the Pope to come see him. He told, the Pope told all the bishops something to take back to all of the pastors. And we're going to find out what he had to say. We'll get a young lion chance to bring up that historical documents, facts. And this was a decree in 2009. We're going to find out all about it a little bit later after Mother E tell me and tell this national audience what do Deuteronomy 8, verse 3 say. What does it say that, Mother, that we can read?
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8, verse 3 reads, and he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knowest not, neither did thy father know, that he might make thee know that man do not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of Yahweh do man live.
He said, man live by every word he told Moses to tell the children of Israel. He said, you tell the children of Israel, Moses, through Aaron, and Aaron going to get all of the ones that trained upon the Aaron, and Aaron was trained by Moses, and Moses was trained by Yahweh the Son, and the Son was trained by the Father. And then they sent that mental spirit down. And matter of fact, look at WCC tonight. Now, what that verse said, he sent the mental spirit down. Oh, okay, well. Hey, Elder, let's see if we find out for the WCC that he sent the mental spirit down to talk to somebody for the WCC 500 million members. It said we second up under the Catholic Church. Let's go to Revelation 1:1 there, Elder. Let's read down till we get our point. Hey, Elder, look at Tibbs. Let's see, can we take care of this little business, then we can get back to what we own, and we're giving a young lion chance to bring out that historical document, facts, that what happened that we can read in 2009. But we go on to Revelation 1:1, and we'll read down until we find out the protocol that was told to John about his protocol. Revelation 1:1. Let's read a little bit, Elder. Come on.
Revelations, chapter 1, verse number 1. 1 says, the revelation of Yahweh the Son, which Yahweh gave unto him, to show unto his servant things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his minister spirit unto his servant John. 2. Who bear record
right there.
Of the word of
right
Yahweh.
There, right there. That's all I want right there. So Elder, tell the national audience how do this thing work. Now you read all I need was verse 1 and 2. So that's the program right there. We find out that the Father has the word and he gave it to the Son. Then the Son had the word and he gave it to the angel. Then the angel taking it down and gave it to who? Now, according to verse 2, when the angel had the message, who did he give it to, Elder, according to verse 2? Verse 2 again. Who he give it to in verse 2?
He gave it to his servant, John.
You see that? And then what happened next? Now read verse 3. And what happened next? Now, so John got his hand on the manuscript. So John got his hand on the manuscript. And in verse 3, what happened next?
Verse 3 says, blessed is he that readeth, and they hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for a time is at hand.
He said, and you will be blessed if you read it. If you read the order of things, you'll have a blessing over your head. So there go your order right there. So we just read the order of things. Now we're going to precept that to the book of Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, Elder. And then we're going to see if we find our young lion and bring him in and see is he ready to harden that microphone on some historical documents, facts that happened in 2009. We're going to find out what was the decree that the head man called the Pope of the Christian Church. Something he said, and we want to read it all together. And the decree went out in 2009. It was an order to tell the bishops something. And the bishops got to get to them pastors. And them pastors got to get to them fathers. And the fathers got to get to them mothers. And the mothers got to get to them children. We'll find out after I hear to look at Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. What it say? Now, we found out some good stuff. We see the father had the records. He gave it to the son. The son understood what the father gave it to him because the father was eyeballing him big time. And once he had it down pat, he summons the angels that brings the message down to man. He said, get on down there and find John and straighten John up. Now we clear. That's a good protocol right there. Now we're going to find out in Hebrews chapter 2 there, Elder, Mr. Tills, what happened next in 2 verse 1 and 2. Come on.
In the book of Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 1 and 2, one says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, least at any time we should let them slip. 2. For if the word spoken by the minister spirits was steadfast, and every transgression or sin and disobedience receive a just recompense of reward.
Mm-hmm. He said, take honestly a heave of what you hear. He said, how man got it was through the angel. He's an angel one brought the word down from the son and the son got from the father. He said, so take very heed of what you hear now. Make sure you're not just quoting a man unless you're quoting the man according to the order of things. The father is the one that's the author of this thing and the finisher. He gave it to the son. He became the author and finisher. And then when the son understood everything, he found the angels. He said, get down there and find my servant John and straighten him out. So once John was straightened out, that's the order. So take heed before you start mentioning about some other man, what some other man done said, make sure you do not ignore the protocol of the Bible. All right, now saying on that, we're going to see who else coming on stage for take number 41. And we see the young lion ready to roar. We're going to find out if he's ready to roar in a minute now. So when you meet the young lions, up and coming teacher out of Camp 1, Brother Micaiah Israel, tribe of Yahda Judah. Hey, Brother Micaiah, Yahweh BJFC right here.
And Yahweh bless you there. Dear Israel. Oh, see Roy. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, what a young lion. Well, we sound like you ready to do a little roaring on this nice broadcast tape number 41. And we know you looked up some historical documents, facts, that we're going to share with the national audience over 700,000 strong pertain to the decree that the Pope of Rome laid on the bishops. So, but before you read that, young line, I need to see what was said in the book of Mark, chapter 7, verse 6 down to verse 13. Hey, young line, Micaiah, what do Mark, chapter 7, verse 6 down to verse 13 say? What did I say first there? Come on.
Okay, we're going over to the book of Mark. We want to read chapter 7, verse 6 down to verse 13. We're going over to the book of Mark, chapter 7, verse 6, read. He answered and said unto them, while well hath Isaiah the seer prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honored me with their lips, but their mind is far from me. Verse 7, do they worship me, teaching for doctrine, teaching the commandments of men. Verse 8, for laying aside the commandment of Yahuwah, you hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things you do. Verse 9, and he said unto them, full well you reject the commandment of Yahuwah, that you may keep your own tradition. Verse 10, for Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and whoso curses father or mother, let him die the death. Verse 11, but you say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever you might be profited by me, he should be free, and you suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother. Verse 13, making the word of Yahuwah of none effect through your tradition, which you have delivered, and many such like things you do.
Young man, you keep on saying something about something. Yahuwah. YHW, you know, that might be strange to somebody's ear to hear that name like that. And that's what we're going to read that decree, but I want to pull a precept on that because in the book of Acts, I think I know where that's coming from because somebody said something in the book of Acts, and they said something that we need to read in the book of Acts, chapter. So now, let's see what Paul said, because, you know, everybody, we love to quote, oh, good Paul, and I like to quote him too. So now, Paul was on a mission, and we want to see what's going on Paul by being on this mission in the 17th chapter, pick it around by verse 10. So in 17, verse 10, we're going to take a look at something, but I'm very interested on what was said and really in verse 18. But we won't just walk all the way down to it because they're going to make a profound statement in verse 18, but we might want to lay a little groundwork because Paul had a big job on his hand. So when we read, we're not going to read Romans chapter 1, verse 5 through 7, because Paul had a mission. He had to go look for a people that was scattered in Rome. So now after he was looking for the people scattered in Rome, he had to go further. So we're going to read him going to a place. Let's find out what's going on in the 17th chapter there, young man. We'll pick up about verse number 10 down to verse 18. But I'm really very interested in verse 18. See what's going on in the 17th chapter, verse 10 down to verse 18. Take your time there, young lion. It just work is packed international side over 7,000 strong. and Sister S.B. Judah Israel said, see, I ain't ready to come on that microphone yet, but let me hear some more. I want to get that name at real good. So keep on doing what you're doing, and soon or later you'll hear me hollering that microphone to the national audience. So,
hallelujah, boy.
S.B.S. Judah Israel. He said, just keep on laying it down and let me get myself right. I want to be like Judges 5:11. I want to rehearse the righteous act too. Okay, good. So now in the 17th chapter, verse 10, take it down there, young lion. You on the clock. Come on.
We're going over to the book of Acts, chapter 17. And we're going to read verse 10 down to verse 18. The book of Acts, chapter 17, verse 10 reads, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming there went into the temple of Yadaju. Verse 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Verse 12. Therefore, many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. Verse 13. But when Yadaju of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of Yahweh was taught of Paul in Berea, they came there also and stirred up the people. Verse 14, and then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go as it were to the sea. But Silas and Timothy abode there still. Verse 15, and they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timothy, for to come to him with all speed, they departed. Verse 16. Now while Paul waited for them in Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Verse 17. Therefore disputed he in the temple with Yadaju and with the devout person, and in the market daily with them that met with him. Verse 18. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, what will this babbler say? Others, he seemed to be a sitter forth of strange Yahweh, because he talked unto them Yahweh the Son and the resurrection.
He said, we hear some strange stuff about you. He said, strange stuff. See, he said, now, what is this babbler going to do? They call him a babbler, too. He said, he's saying strange stuff to our ears, and this is a prophecy. And like right now, you might come on this broadcast, and you might hear, you say, I'm looking at the word called in my Bible. I'm looking at Lord God and Jesus and Jehovah. Why is you study saying YHWH? What is that? Some strange things to my ears. What that supposed to mean? So what we're going to do, we're going to see about what the Pope did on record. And all you can do to whiz is bring up this report, and you can read along by being a computer whiz. Pope did something in 2009. Now, young Lionel, what did the Pope do, historical documents, facts, in 2009? Let's read about what he did that we all can read and we all can hear together. And those that computer literate, just say what the Pope did in 2009. You on the clock there. Take your time there, young Lionel. The world listening. Come on.
Okay. We're going to read some historical facts. It's about Vatican seeks to eliminate use of the divine name. A fragment of the Septuagint dating from the first century, the divine name represented by the four Hebrew, the Shemitic letters, commonly translated YHWH, is circled. This is my name for all time. Exodus 3:15. Page 30, The Watchtower, April 1st, 2009. Paragraph 1. The Catholic hierarchy is seeking to eliminate the use of the divine name in their church services. Last year, the Vatican Congregation for Divine Worship in the Discipline of the Sacraments sent instructions on this matter to Catholic bishops conference worldwide. The step was taken by directive of the Pope. This document, dated June 29, 2008, decrees the fact that despite instructions to the contrary, in recent years, the practice has crept in on pronouncing the DOD of Israel's proper name, known as the Holy or Divine Tetragrammaton, written with the consonants of the Hebrew Shemitic alphabet in the form YHWH. The document notes that the divine name was variously been rendered Yahweh, 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 Yah, Yehovah, and so forth. However, the Vatican directive seeks to reestablish the traditional Catholic position. That is to say, the Tetragrammaton is to be replaced by L-O-R-D, Lord. Moreover, in Catholic religious services, hymns, and prayers, G-O-D, name, Y-H-W-H, is neither to be used or pronounced. In support of this position, the Vatican's document appears to the immortal tradition of Catholicism. The directive claims that even in the Septuagint translation of the Hebrew Shemitic scriptures, dating to pre-Christian times, the divine name was regularly rendered Kyrios, the Greek word for Lord, L-O-R-D. The directive insists Christians, too, from the beginning, never pronounced the divine Tetragrammaton. This statement, however, ignores clear evidence to the contrary. Early copies of the Septuagint contained not Kyrios, but the divine name in the form YHWH. Christ's first century followers knew and pronounced G-O-D's name. Jesus, which is Yahweh the Son, himself said in prayer to his Father, I have made your name known. John 17:26. And in his well-known model prayer, Jesus, is a polluted word for Yahweh the Son, taught us to pray. Our Father in the heavens, let your name be sanctified. Matthew 6:9. It should be the desire of all Christians to see the name sanctified. Vatican efforts to eliminate its use dishonor Jehovah, the one who said, this is my name for all time. By this name I shall be invoked for all generations to come. Exodus 3:15, the Jerusalem Bible.
Good. That's good right there. So now what do we find out? We find out his own records by going on our computer and look at the documents, historical documents, facts, what happened in 2008, 2009. The Pope said, listen, I want to make sure one thing, you bishops understand one thing, you Christian bishops, get to them Christian pastors. They can use any name they want to use. Lord, God, Jesus, Allah, Jehovah. Just don't use some four-letter name. That's the name. We want to be dismissed. That's why the average Christian, when he hear the name YHWH, they said, I'm hearing strange things to my ears. Well, the reason you hear strange things to your ears, it was decreed to act like that name do not exist. And when you go into the Semitic alphabet, the first language that was spoken to man was Adam. He spoke to Adam in a Semitic tongue. Semitic tongue have 22 alphabets, no vowels, no A, E, I, O, U. All of them was brought in the ninth century by the Masoretes. You can look that up. That's when they insert vowel points. They looked at the original name, YHWH, and they inserted vowel points in there between the 6th and the 9th century. Then they pronounced his name, Yah and Yahweh. That's why it happened. But for them to have the information, it must be something written in the Bible that we can read that they had to draw from. So young lion, can you have to see it out? They had to draw from something. We go on to the book of Acts chapter 4, verse 13 down to verse 18. And we're going to find out what's going on that we can read. And Mother E have me Acts chapter 5, because it's going to come back up again in verse number, Acts 5, verse 28. And we're going to look at it all the way down to verse number 32. Hey, Mother E, had it all warmed up on old Seer in Acts chapter 5, verse 28 down to verse 32. Now, young lion, what can we read out of Acts chapter 4, verse 13 down to verse 18? Because for the Pope to make that profound decision, he had to draw it from somewhere. And now we go and peep and see where did he draw that understanding from by looking at Acts chapter 4, verse 13 down to verse 18. What did it say that young lion? Come on back. You're on the clock. Come on.
We're going over to the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 13 down to verse 18. Verse 13 reads, now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Yahweh the Son. Verse 14, and beholding the man which was healed, standing with them, they could say nothing against it. Verse 15. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves. Verse 16. Saying, what shall we do with to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle had been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Yadad Judah. And we cannot deny it. Verse 17. But that it spread no farther among the people, let us strictly threaten them that they speak hereforth to no man in this name. Verse 18. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Yahweh the Son.
You hear that? So there they were there. He said, now, we know they done a noble miracle because they called on his name. A lot of things happened. We can't deny that we didn't see that. But let's strictly threaten them. We don't care about your teaching. Just don't teach in the name. And that we're going on today. Because We know, as long as we keep in that name there, elders and chiefs, as long as we teaching that name, because we know something in the book called Acts 4:12. Hey, elder, Mr. Tills, what do Acts 4:12 say that we can read? You on the clock, elder, Mr. Tills, come on.
In the book of Acts, chapter 4, looking at verse number 12, 12 says, Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under the heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
So they knew if you, it ain't but one name gonna get you saved. And Peter, the chief speaker of the nation of Israel, of the 12 tribes of Israel, the least spokesman, said, he says, I know y'all have crowded me. Y'all crowded me to the side. Y'all hemmed me up on every side. What's that, WC? What that is? I'll back up elders of verse 10 and walk into that. Walk into that. 10 through 12. Because WCC saying, well, where that at? 500 million members said, now where that verse at? Okay, we'll back up a little bit. Verse 10. 10 down to verse 12, elder. Let's take it from there, you know, not leaving nothing untied, because they are hemmed up the chief speaker for the nation of Israel, old Peter. They had him hemmed up. Let's read about it. Matter of fact, Peter verse 9, nigga. Let's make a little meal out of it. Pick up verse 9 all the way down to verse 12. Acts 4, 9 down to 12. Mr. Tills, you on the clock. Come on.
Reading from the book of Acts, chapter 4, from verse number 9 to verse number 12. 9 says, then Peter, filled with the righteous spirit, said unto them, Then Peter, filled with the righteous spirit, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel. 9. If we this day be examined of the good deed done unto the important man, by what means he is made whole. 10. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that the name of Yahweh the son of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom Yahweh raised from the dead, even by him doeth this man standeth here before you whole. 11. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under the heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
Yeah. So Peter told him bottom line, when it comes down to being saved or this, what you want, the salvation, you got to call on the name. And now, but Peter had to have an understanding. We got to find out where does this understanding come from. For Peter to make such a bold statement as they crowded, real, see, sometimes you might be crowded. And it's up to you to have be word up in the word. Because you're definitely going to be crowded up. Because when you start hearing strange things in the ears that is not according to the traditions of men, your leadership will crowd you up and make you have to come and do some throw down according to as it's written. See? So now it's up to you to learn this. Because you're definitely going to be called on the clock when you start bringing up that name, YHWH name, which is the name that was given to Adam, and that was the name that was given to John when he closed the book in all his prose in 96 A.D. The only name they knew from 96 A.D. back to the time of Adam, 4004 BC, was the one name, YHWH. Now, after 96 AD, the mental spirit told John 1:17 through 19 and 4:1, the hereafter. Write it down. So when John put his pen down in 96 AD, everything was told about the hereafter. John wrote it. So it was no new teaching coming after 96 AD. So anything you hear after 96 AD did not come from the teaching of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, the men that was in charge of his word. Everything after 96 AD come from the other guy, one that say, didn't we strictly warn you not to speak in that name? Now, Mother E, in the book of Acts, chapter 5, after they done crowded Peter real good, they crowded him real good, Mother. Chuck him up real good. Then what happened next, Mother, that we can read in Acts chapter 5, verse 28 down to verse 32? See, you're going to be crowded real good. You say, you know, my telephone, I just asked my phone, smartphone, what is God's true name? It's going to come back, YHWH. So what? You mean, is that easy? Yes. Just said, smartphone. God's true name. And watch what come back on your smartphone. You say, well, IV. But where all the other names come from? Well, you get ready to read it. Acts chapter 5, Mother E. What is it that we can read in Acts 5, 28 down to verse 32? What do the Bible say that we can read, Mother E? Come on.
Acts chapter 5, verse 28 to 32. Verse 28 says, did not we straightly command you that you should not in this name? And behold, you have filled your thy Judah with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Verse 29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey Yahweh rather than man. Verse 30, the Yahweh of our father raised up Yahweh the son, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Verse 31, him had Yahweh exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. Verse 32. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the righteous spirit, whom the Father Yahweh has given to them that obey him.
Oh, so he'll give you the Holy Ghost. He'll give you a comforter to teach you. But, Mother, according to verse number 31 and 32, is something you got to do. So if you want this comforter that you can read in St. John 14:26, which is a teacher, if you want this, it's something that you got to do. That we just say, it's something you got to do. And what you got to do, we're going to find out. Mother, what do you got to do in verse 31 and 32? It's something you got to do. And what is that we can read, Mother, 31 and 32? It's something, it just ain't going to fall on you and you got it. It's something you got to do in 31 and 32. What did it say again that Mother E? Take your time and bring it on what you got to do if you want the Holy Ghost to be part of your life. It's something you got to do, and let Mother E. Israel out of Camp 1 tell you what you got to do in verse 31 and 32. What did it say there, Mother?
So in verse 31, it says, Him has Yahweh exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, but to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. So, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And,
mm-hmm.
and we are
so now that's well, hold on mother, you were saying something. I mean, you delayed for a minute. If it was done, you must want the OC to say something. So you saying that he gave this power to his son to give forgiveness of sin.
Mm-hmm.
So he gave this power, the father gave his power to his son to forgive sin. So that we're reading this. So Peter's the one saying this. Now, Peter's saying this. When they crowded him, the only one that the power was given to was the father gave to his son. For what reason? To forgive sin. Okay, good. Now, what happened next in verse 32?
Verse 32, he said, and we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the righteous spirit, whom Yahweh has given to them that obey him.
And he said that you can receive this too, but you have to obey him, meaning you have to make a Bible decision. Not a fleshly man decision. Now, you read the rules and regulations. The son had the power to forgive sin. He got that authorized from his father. So we're going to find out, well, who did he give it to after that? We'll find out that a little later. We don't find out today. We'll find out tomorrow. But this Peter is doing a lot of tall talking, Elder. And I want to find out, since Peter can make all these boldly statements, Elder Mr. Tills, can you tell me, well, who gave him the authority to do all this powerful talking that he's doing? Because we need to know your resume. Where you get all this powerful talking from, Peter, to say but one name for salvation? Where you get all this stuff from that we can read? Let's back up, Elder Mr. Tibbs, let's see where he got it from in Matthew 16:16 to verse 19. Hey, Elder, Mr. Tibbs, where did Peter get all this big-time information from to boldly say it ain't but one name for salvation? Let's see, can we read his resume by going to Matthew 16, verse 16 down to verse 19. Hey, Elder, what you said that we all can read together? Come on.
In the book of Matthew, chapter 16, reading from verse 16 to 19, it says, 16, and Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art Yahweh the Son of the living Yahweh. 17, and Yahweh the Son answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon, our Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thy, but thy Father which is in heaven. 18. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. 19. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whosoever shall loose on earth shall be loosened in heaven.
That's been talking there. So we reading that Peter, the son, asked him a question. He said, who do men say I am? A verse a little earlier. He said, you are Yahweh the Son of the living Yahweh the Father. He said, Peter, flesh and blood didn't tell you that, and I didn't tell you that. He said, my Father in heaven is working with you, Peter. My Father's the one elbow me out the way and straighten you up. So that is up there. So Peter was working directly with the Father. The Father one told old Peter that what? Then the son came behind him and said, hey, Peter, whatever you loose on earth, I say it again. Let me hear that verse again. Hey, Brother Micaiah, let me hear that verse again. I got to hear that verse again. Because thank you, that Mother E. This is no Mother Z over there. Mother Z said, listen there. I got my eye on you now. Make sure you paint the picture for real plain. That's right. Right, Mother Z? Paint the picture real plain. Brother Micaiah, in verse 18 and 19, because we found out one thing. Because he asked a question to Peter. He said, Peter, in Matthew's 17, verse 5. Can you help me out, Elder? Mr. Tills. Because there was a lot of conversation going on, Elder, Mr. Tills. And then all of a sudden, look at verse 17, verse 4 and 5. You take a note, especially B.S. Judah Israel. You taking them notes down? Listen, take them notes down. Because like I said again, one day we're going to hear you on the microphone, hollering in the microphone real good, too. But you got to have it down pat. Excellent. So now, Peter got beside himself for a minute in the 17th chapter of Matthew's there. And can you help me out what happened in verse 4 and 5? Hey, Elder, Mr. Tills, what happened in the 17th chapter, verse 4 and 5, that we all can read together? What happened? Come on.
Matthew chapter 17, verse 4 and 5. Verse 4 says, then Peter answered and said unto Yahweh the Son, is it good for us to be here if thou wilt? Let us make here the tabernacles, one for thee and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. 5. While ye yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him.
Take that stuff. He said, look here. Peter won't talk that talk, and a voice came out of the cloud and said, look here. You see my beloved Son, you hear him. So that's what's going on today. We supposed to hear the Son. You know, a lot of people say, well, you know, I don't like the New Testament. And some say, well, I like the old done away with. I like the new. No, no, it's a continuation of writing from 96 A.D., from 4004 to 96 A.D. Ain't no such thing from New Testament or Old Testament. All of it go together. So Peter got beside himself, and Peter will make a calling that he couldn't read. So the voice came out of a cloud and said, this is my beloved Son. You hear him. See that? So now there go the game changer right there. So now understand one thing. You hear what the Son says and do, and that's the game changer. Now, but then we're going to find out when the Son was ready to go, who did he say, you hear him? See, we're going to find that out on the way. See, that's why you got to understand this Bible. It's a progressive book. The Father gave the word. And he says, make it plain what he said to Elder in 68:11, what he tell the minister spirit tell David to write in Psalm 68:11. What can we read that we can read in 68:11? What can we read ever? Psalm 68:11. What can we all read together? Come on. Psalm 68:11. Elder, Mr. Till, what can we read? The national ordinance say how long we got to wait.
And Psalm 68:11. 11 says, Yahweh gave the word. Great was the company of those who that published.
You see that? So Elder, who gave the word according to 68:11?
Yahweh gave the word.
And then he said, great as those that published it. And that's the same thing we read about Mother in 8:3. So take man out of the equation. Now, what man have done is just bump you by saying one thing when the Bible says another. But man, they have done nothing that we can't straighten out. You remember when grandmama used to cook back in the days? She can take a little bit of this and that and make a meal. That's the same thing. You got to know how to go in this book and get what you need. It's like going to the store. You see a variety of everything, but ain't what you go in and get what you need out of the store, right? That's the same thing about this good book. They ain't twist this book nowhere that you can't straighten out once you get on the right track. You don't go in the store and all of a sudden you go looking on something he tell you not to look. He tell you something not to do. You don't do it anyway, do you? Or do it if you follow the man. Because he tell you something not to do, Brother Makai, put that aside for a minute. He tell you what not to do. Do you do what man tell you to do when he said something not to do? What do he say that we can read on not to do, Brother Makai, in Leviticus chapter 11, verse 1, 2? What do he tell us what not to do? And we are asking you something, especially on the international side. Do you do what he say not to do? Let's see what he says not to do in the biggest verse 1, 2, and we'll skip down to 7 to 11. Hey, Bob Micaiah, let's talk about it. You on the clock. Come on.
The book of Leviticus, chapter 11, verse 1 and verse 2. Verse 1 reads, and Yahweh spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying unto them, 2, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, these are the beasts which you shall eat among all the beasts that are on the earth. Verse 7, in a swine, though he divide the hook and be cloven footed, yet he cheweth not the cud, he is unclean to you. Verse 8, of their flesh shall you not eat, and their carcass shall you not touch. They are unclean to you. Verse 9.
Now, what he's saying, well, hold that part, young man. He's talking about that pig. But you got a great big organization that tells you on January the 1st what we're going to eat. We're going to eat some pig, a big old pig with pineapple on top of it and black-eyed peas. That's what we're going to eat on January the 1st. Now, the Bible tells children of the book, don't eat no pig and don't even touch no pig. See? Now, that was the Bible say. So what are you dealing with today? Of men or are you dealing with the Bible? Now, the Bible is telling straight to not to eat no pig and don't even touch no pig. Now, look in the mirror and tell me, who are you following? You following man or are you following the Bible? Now, what does he say about that pig that we can read? Keep reading a little bit more about that pig there, that he said about that pig. Come on, young lion.
Okay. Verse number 9. Neither shall you eat of the war, of all that are in the war, whatsoever hath fins and scales in the water, in the sea, and in the river, them shall you eat. Verse 10.
So now what he said again, now he said, now he went to the water. Now he said about that pig, don't touch him, don't eat it. Then he says, and I'm not through talking to you, Moses, tell children of Israel. Now let's talk about this water thing. Because people love to go fishing for catfish, lobster, and shrimp. So he's saying, Moses, educate the children of Israel. If anything that's in the water that do not have fins and scales, what he say? Now, what did the Almighty say to, you know, the one that made your body? What did he say? It's saying to have fins that do not have fins and scales. What did the Almighty tell Moses to tell the children of Israel? Keep reading that, young lion.
Okay, verse 10. And all that have not fins and scales in the sea and in the river, of all that move in the water, and of any living thing which is in the water, they shall be an abomination unto you. Verse 11.
He says, that would be an abomination to you. He says, if it don't have fins and scales, hold that point. Hey, Mother E, what else would be an abomination to you that was told by the Mighty One to tell the children of Israel? What else would be an abomination to you, hey, Mother E, that we can read in Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 5 and verse 12? What else would be an abomination to the children of Israel? We're coming back there in a minute, young lions, but I need to find out, is another thing that in the sight of Yahweh, your maker, is abomination to him? It might, you know, might look pretty good to old Phil looking, but it ain't my call. It's the Bible call. Let's see what we can read that he says in 22 verse 5 and 12. We want to zero in on what is a abomination to your maker. You're the one that made the body, the one told you don't eat no hog, no pig, and don't touch it. What else did he say that we can read in 22 verse 5 and verse 12? I mean, who you want to please? This is a man of your maker. They're going to give you your salvation. So which one you want to do? Look in the mirror. Do you want to please your boss? Or do you want to please the man that put the breath in your body? Let's see what he said in 22 verse 5 and 12. What did he say to that mother? Hey, Mother E, what did he say that we all can read together?
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 22, verses 5 and verse 12. Verse 5. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth to a man. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, but all that do so are abomination unto the Yahweh, your Yahweh. Verse 12. Thus shall make the fringes upon the four quarters of their vest wherewith thou cover thyself.
So he told Moses to tell the children of Israel that the way you was dressing over there in Egypt in slavery, you know, with the thighs and everybody look like everybody, is that's old with now. I brought you out of captivity. He said, whatever pertained to a man, which is breeches, they called it breeches in the soft pants today. He said, a woman should not don't have that on. Because they do is abomination to your maker. Now, if a man that wears a dress, he said, man, do not pose to wear a dress. That's an abomination to your maker. Huh? That's a, I mean, he might get you all the looks you want according to man and woman. But you, sooner or later, you want to get in the order of this man that made you. So now, and like the question was asked, but I got a job. I got to wear pants to make my ends meet. He said, well, that's understandable. Until you can do better, then you do what you got to do with them pants on. But you got a locker room, right? And when you get out that job, well, you might have to chase somebody up around the corner and dive on the cars and wrestle with him. Okay, good. But when your job is over with, you go in that locker room and put your dress on with them fringes on. Because you want them fringes on you because he said something, mother. In the 15th chapter, verse 37 through 40, of Numbers. See, the reason why you want them fringes on your clothing, because I think, and I know, because he said so. You're the one that made... He wasn't about your color. He picked the people to show forth the praises of him. So in the 37th, in the 15th chapter of Numbers, mother, what can we read 37 down to verse 40? Numbers 15, 37 to verse 40. Let's see what we can read all together. Come on.
Book of Numbers, chapter 15. Verse 37 to verse 40. Numbers 15, 37. And the Yahweh speak unto Moses, saying, 38, speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the border of their garments throughout their generation, and that they put upon the fringes of the border a ribbon of blue. 39, and it shall be unto you for a fringe, that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Yahweh and do them, and that you seek not after your own mind and your own eyes, after which you used to go a whore. Verse 40, that you may remember and do all my commandments and be righteous unto your Yahweh.
He say, you do this because you're being righteous to him. See, if it's about him, then you're going to follow him. If it's about him. So, now, that's big talk, he said. Now we got to precept that, young man. We got, he said, now, it's about him. Because now the seer stepped in behind that one, because that had been pulled from somewhere. In First Kings there, young lion, Brother Micaiah, we want to precept that. He said, you got to be righteous to the one that made you, to the one that gave his son, get down there and give me something going on. So you got to be righteous to him, but you got to find out that this message was told to the seer. And matter of fact, give me Amos 3 verse 7 to get me started. Get me halfway warmed up while I look for 1 Kings 18 there, young man. What do we say? Because we know that the father gave the message to the son, and the son gave it to the angel to bring it down to man. And now, we want to know, when that angel got down here, what did he do? Maybe we can find what the angel did in 3 verse 7. What did the angel do when he got down here in 3 verse 7? What do you do when I be in 1 Kings 18 waiting on you? What did the angel do when he had direct word from the Son and the Father? Now here he comes. And what can we read in 3 verse 7?
The book of Amos, the seer, chapter 3, verse number 7. Verse 7 reads, surely Yahweh will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servant the seer.
So the first thing that the Almighty gonna do, he gonna look down for the seer. And he gonna tell the seer what he wants to be told to man. Now that's how it works. And what a precept on what that work. This way it works at in Exodus 3:15-16. He go to order of things. See, you know the reason they got them stop signs and red lights out there, and you mess around and run into that. You got somebody laying back in the ticket book on you. You said, listen, you can't break the order and think you just can break the order. And same thing he's telling you. You got to get the order to know how to help yourself and those who come in contact with you. So here go the order of things. Listen to the order of things, because Moses was he was in a tight. He heard some things. He came looking around for some things, and then he heard something. As a matter of fact, pick it up at verse number 3:6 just to make it sound good. We'll take it down to verse 13, then we'll read verse 15 and 16. We might build a little meal on it. Because Moses was he was watching something called a burning bush. So Moses said, let me go over there and see why this bush is burning, but it's not consumed. But he don't know that I was set up for the Almighty to get his attention. See, I don't know what he might do to get your burning bush and get your attention. I don't know what price you're going to pay. But Moses spot something. But the time said we don't worry about what he spotted. We're going to skip down to verse 6 and see what the conversation going on in verse 6 down to verse 13. Young Lion, Brother Micaiah, what's going on that we all can read together? Come on.
The book of Exodus, chapter 3, verse 6 down to 13, and we're picking it back up at 15 and 16. The book of Exodus, chapter 3, verse 6, 13, verse 6 reads, moreover, he said, I am the Yahweh of your father, the Yahweh of Abraham, the Yahweh of Isaac, and the Yahweh of Israel. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon Yahweh. Verse 7. And the Yahweh said, I have surely seen affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Verse 8. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land, unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Verse 9. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Verse 10. Come now, therefore, and I will send you unto Pharaoh, that you may bring forth my people, the children of Israel, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Verse 11. And Moses said unto Yahweh, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel, the Israelites, out of Egypt? Verse 12. And he said, certainly, I will be with you, and this shall be a token unto you that I have sent you. When you have brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve Yahweh upon this mountain. Verse 13. And Moses said unto Yahweh, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, the Israelites, and shall say unto them, the Yahweh of your father has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? Verse 15. And Yahweh said moreover unto Moses, thus shall you say unto the children of Israel, the Yahweh, Yahweh of your father, the Yahweh of Abraham, the Yahweh of Isaac, and the Yahweh of Israel has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Verse 16. Go and gather the elders of Israel together, and say unto them, the Yahweh of your fathers, the Yahweh of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Israel, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you, and seen that which is done to you in Egypt.
Mm-hmm. Read verse 13 again there, young Michaels. You know, Moses asked a profound question in verse 13, but one of them words did not sit right. And I want to make sure he's clear about this one word in 13. Now, listen, because now Mother Z caught it too. She said, see, I caught it. Okay, good. Come back to verse 13 one more time.
Okay. The book of Exodus, chapter 3, verse 13. Verse 13 reads, and Moses said unto Yahweh, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, the Israelites, and shall say unto them, the Yahweh of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them?
Now, what is thy name? What is thy name? What is your name? That's what he won't know. Moses won't know, said, what is your name? That's what it means, thou, your name. Thank you there, Mother Z. What is your name? I want to know, they're going to ask me, what is your name? That's what they want to know. What name is you up under? And I go back to the children of Israel. I want to know one thing. They're going to ask me, what is thou, your name? What your name is? He say that we can read what he say about his name. What he said that we can read in verse 15 there, young lion, when Moses bumped his gums real good, good. You want to know my name, Moses? Okay. What I said in verse 15, come on.
Verse 15 reads, and Yahweh said moreover unto Moses, thus shall you say unto the children of Israel, the Yahweh of your father, the Yahweh of Abraham, the Yahweh of Isaac, and the Yahweh of Israel has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations.
He said, my name is... How many letters is my name in there, young man?
Four letters. Y-H-W-A. Yahweh.
That's the end of it. So listen, why is he confused? He's speaking to Moses to get to the elders and tell them. They don't ask, what is your name? He said, my name is the four letters forever throughout all generations. That's what he said, see? And then, as time went on, in 9:16, he had to tap Moses on the shoulder again, read verse 15, make it sound good. In 9:15 and 16, he tapped Moses on the shoulder. In Exodus chapter 9, verse 15 and 16. Because every now and then, you have to be reminded of some things. He said, hey, Moses, is you in my place, is that right? Yeah. Okay, good. Let's see what we can read in the book, Exodus chapter 9, verse number 15. Make it 14, make it good. Read verse 14, 15, 16. Let's make a little small, little quick meal out of it. Young lion, come on.
All right, we're going over to the book of Exodus, chapter 9. Verse 14 down to 16. The book of Exodus, chapter 9, verse 14 reads, For I will at this time send all my plagues upon your mind and upon your servants and upon your people, that you may know that there is none like me in all the earth. Verse 15. For now I will stretch out my hand that I may smite you and your people with pestilence, and you shall be cut off from the earth. Verse 16. And in very deed for this cause have I raised you up, for to show in you my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're right there, Mother Zeke. Let's go back over that again, because the young lion, and remember, hey, Mother Zeke, you know, last week you left that strop, didn't you? I think you better bring that old strop in, the one that beat them young lions back every now and then. You can go back over that verse again, that young lion. We're going to look at that a little bit more carefully, because we want to make sure it come out exactly. We'll take our time, and we're going to look at them verses real carefully there, young lion. And let's take one at a time. Let's take one at a time in Exodus chapter 9. Read one verse at a time, 14. Let those seers get in there and take a look at that verse. 9:14, come on.
Okay, the book of Exodus chapter 9, verse 14. Verse 14 reads, for I will at this time send all my plagues upon your mind and upon your servants and upon your people, that you may know that there is none like me in all the earth.
Read that again.
Verse 14. For I will at this time send all my plagues upon your mind and upon your servants and upon your people.
Stop it there. Stop it there. Or verse 14. For I will at this time send all my plagues upon thy mind. Yo, somebody he get ready to put this on. Thy mind. And upon thy servants. He letting Moses know, I'm going to send these plagues upon thy servants. So now, who is he talking about? He going to send all this stuff on. Who is he planning on doing this to make sure he's not telling Moses, this going to happen to you, Moses? No. He's talking about somebody else. Back in the verse 9. Let's see who he's talking about, but we can be clear who he's talking about. They're doing all this stuff too. Verse 9.
Okay, the book of Exodus, chapter 9, verse 9. Verse 9 reads, and it shall become small dust in all the land of Egypt, and shall be a boil breaking forth with lands upon man and upon beast throughout all the land of Egypt.
So this right here, it's going to be put upon the land of Egypt. So this is going to be put upon the land of Egypt. Why? Verse 12.
Verse 12 reads, and the Yahweh hardened the mind of Pharaoh, and he hearkened not unto them, as the Yahweh had spoken unto Moses.
So, see, the Almighty can harden your head. He can harden your head where you obey the Bible, no, never mind, or those that bring the message. He can harden your head, and you'll get excited, because that be the Almighty is hardening your head, because maybe he want to bring some out. He can harden your head. You can look red at something, and all of a sudden he just had you have amnesia. You just overlook it. That be the Almighty on hardening your head. He said, Moses, you can go over there and tell Pharaoh to let the children of Israel go, but he didn't listen to you, Moses, because I've been on hard in his head. So a lot of times when people don't listen, like brother, mama, auntie, people's close, he don't listen, because Almighty are hard in their head. He Because Yahweh, he'll harden your head if you don't do right. So that's his call to make. Your job is to make sure they hear the word uncut. But if their minds get all hard enough, understand one thing. That's the hand of the mighty one. He's talking to Moses. He said, Moses, I'm going to make it well Pharaoh ain't here and listen to nothing you saying. Because it's something I won't do to him, but we ain't going to read it in this lesson. We'll read it maybe one day. Go ahead and read. Next verse.
Okay. 13. Verse 13. And Yahweh said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say unto him, thus says the Yahweh of the Israelites, let my people go, that they may serve me.
Now, we got a better, because mostly those that be reading in all these sections on the camp, they very learned. So, but we got to understand something. The national audience is not very learned. Although they can read, comprehend good, but understand his Bible. His Bible is not a novel. This Bible is nobody's novel. You got to come on with the come on with this book right here. So, and you got to have the right spirit to for the Almighty to release this to you. Although you got degrees all on the wall. Now we find out that Moses is talking, Yahweh is talking to Moses, getting Moses all right, getting him ready to go before Pharaoh. Now, with that understanding, now we can go and look at this conversation in verse 14. So Moses paying attention to the Almighty on what he going to do, letting you know Pharaoh going to get up early in the morning, and you go stand ready for him and be right there with him, eyeball to eyeball, because Yahweh be peeping on you. So what happened in verse 14? With that understanding, what happened in verse 14?
The book of Exodus, chapter 9, verse 14 reads, for I will at this time send all my plagues upon thy mouth and upon your servants and upon thy people, that thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth.
So he's not telling Moses I'm going to send upon on thy peoples, which in thy peoples is food that we can read. Who is Moses' people that we can read in verse 4? Let's find who Moses' people is that we can read in verse 4.
Okay. Picking up at Exodus chapter 9, going to verse 4. Verse 4 reads, and Yahweh shall serve between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt, and there shall nothing die of all that is the children of Israel.
Verse 6, the last line in verse 6.
Last line of verse 6. But of the cattle of the children of Israel died not one.
And who are they according to Yahweh in the third line? Who are these children of Israel according to verse 7, the third line? Who are these peoples that we can read? Who are these children of Israel that we can read in the third line on verse 7?
The Israelites.
Ain't that something? The Israelites. You see, so when you see the teaching going out by somebody called a Jew and somebody called a Hebrew, that's not the will of the Almighty. That's the will of man. How you address the children of Israel by what the Almighty called them, the Israelites. That's the end of it. That's how you address them. They are the Israelites. See, if you don't learn none of this in this thing, when you call them a Jew, Jewish, anything, that's totally wrong. How the Almighty addressed these peoples is by calling them the Israelites. So when you see the word Jew pertain to the Israel, nah, that don't work no more. When you see the word Hebrew, nah, that don't work no more. Even though you might say black, the Hebrew Israelites, that don't work no more. When you address the children of Israel they are the Israelites in the sight of the Almighty. So if you don't learn nothing else, understand that. One name for them, in one name. Children of Israel, the Israelites. Where you find that at? 9th chapter, verse 4, 6, and 7. So now, with that understanding, now let's see what Moses had to tell the children of Israel in verse 2. He said, now, I've been doing some damage now. See what he say? Verse 15. Moses is telling the children of Israel. Now, listen what said in verse 15. What's said in verse 15?
The book of Exodus, chapter 9, verse 15. Verse 15 reads, for now I will stretch out my hand that I may smite thee and thy people with pestilence, and thou shalt be cut off from the earth.
So now, the one he going to smite is the Egyptians, the sons of Ham. He said, Moses, I'm getting ready to whoop up on the sons of Ham. I'm ready to whoop them, the one you call African people today. I'm getting ready to whoop them real good. I'm going to send some pestilence down there and whoop them real good, Moses. You go in and tell them I said, let the children of Israel go. But he ain't going to listen to you because I'm going to do something to him. And if those that got to hear here, they know exactly what he was going to do to him. See, sometimes you be around your parents and your brothers and stuff, and you got to understand something, that the Almighty, when his hand is in something, when you show somebody sound information and they looking at it with, and that's why we tell everybody in the 6 anointed camp, make sure you got a verse on the table before, because everything you say, they're not going to believe it because the way they been done. So now you have to make sure you always got a verse on the table.
Hallelujah.
Now the reason why I'm gonna whoop them real good, because something that they said in the world gonna confess it one day themselves. Now, before we read verse 16, we want to show you something that we can read. Now after they went through that great big old whooping, big time. See, sometimes they got to get a great big whooping. But look at what comes behind it in verse 27. Look at 9:27. What can we read in 9:27?
Okay, we're going over to the book of Exodus, chapter 9, verse 27. 27 reads, and Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron the seer, and said unto them, I have sinned this time. The Yahuwah is righteous, and I and my people are wicked.
you see? It's like, he said, look here. They had to get the, sometimes your family members just got to get the serious beat down before they come clean. They don't come clean automatic. Pharaoh and them had to get beat down so bad that they called for Moses, and he had to come clean. Pharaoh says, I and my people are what word?
Are wicked.
Wicked. So you see that? See, sometimes you got wicked kinfolks, and you show them what the Bible's saying, but they ain't going to hear you. You got to call it the way it is. But guess what? Maybe when you read verse 35, see, sometimes you want to get relaxed in the brain so you can understand what's going on. Maybe. But if you want your brain relaxed, look at verse 35.
Exodus chapter 9, verse 35. 35 reads, and the mind of Pharaoh was hardened, neither would he let the children of Israel go, as the Yahuwah has spoken by Moses.
See, the Yahuwah, you're hardening your head. He had you be looking right at the truth of the matter and had you to just, and you looking at it, that's why you got to make sure they read. They got to read first. Comment after you got a verse. Don't try to win the bump the gum contest. No. Just throw a verse on the table.
That's
and
right.
Let them read first. See?
Hallelujah.
chapter there, young line. I just want to beat it a little bit more. Because he's going to tell you something. In the 15th chapter, verse 4 and 25. This, in the 14th chapter, make it the 14th chapter of Exodus. I want you to hear what the Almighty says in verse 24 and 25. What he said that we all can read together. What he says in Exodus chapter 14, 24, and 25.
We're going over to the book of Exodus, chapter 14, verse 24 and verse 25. The book of Exodus, chapter 14, verse 24 reads, "And it came to pass that in the morning, watched the Yahweh look unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of the fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians." Verse 25. "And took off their chariot wheels, that they drove them heavy, so that the Egyptians said, 'Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Yahweh fighted for them against the Egyptians.'"
Yeah, if that's why you want to make sure you pay this man some never mind, because the Almighty fights for those that, when you back against the wall, you got him right, he got you right. I precept that to the book of chapter 2, 1 through 10. Now watch this. Now this is a precept. See, the members go ahead and say, "Yeah, see, that sounds pretty good. But why don't you give a precept on what you just said?" Now these books called the Apocrypha. It was before the Catholic Church removed 14 books out of your Bible. You go on your computer and you can pull up. How many books in the original King James 1611? It'll come back. Oh, 80 books. But why my book out 66? The Catholic Church removed books. Because if they would remove these books from you, remember, to keep a person down, you remove information from them, right? In the mind, then you tell them what you want them to hear. That was the book saying. So, they call it all Apocrypha now. You go on your websites or whatever you do, order you a Apocrypha, a little red book. Between Matthew. But these are the years that your preachers tell you this is the year where our Lord and Savior was not talking. Oh, you were talking real good. It just was cool from you. But look at this, and it tells you something here in 2, 1 through 10. So if you can't pull it up, just pay attention to it. Remember that you heard it read. So, right, 2, 1 through 10. Bring it out, young lion. Come on.
All right, we're going over to the book of Sirach, chapter 2, verse 1 down to verse 10. This book of Sirach, chapter 2, verse 1 reads, "My son, if you come to serve the Yahweh, prepare your soul for temptation. 2, set your mind aright and constantly endure and make not haste in time of trouble. Verse 3, cleave unto him. And depart not away, that you may be increased at your last end. Verse 4, whatsoever is bought upon you, take cheerfully. And be patient when you are changed to a low estate. Verse 5, for gold is tried in the fire, and acceptable man in the furnace of adversity. Verse 6, believe in him, and he will help you. Order your way aright and trust in him. Verse 7, you that fear the Yahweh, wait for his mercy and go not aside, lest you fall. Verse 8, you that fear the Yahweh, believe him, and your reward shall not fail. Verse 9, You that fear the Yahuwah, hope for good and for everlasting joy and mercy. Verse 10. Look at the generations of old and see, did ever any trust in the Yahuwah and was confounded? Or did any abide in his fear and was forsaken? Or whom did he ever despise that called upon him?
He said, check the record. He said, show me anywhere in the record when you got me right, I didn't deliver you. He said, show it to me. What record, who got a 100% plus record? He said, he do. He said, show me where when you had me right, I didn't get you right. He said, show it to me. What book you going to pull out and read that when you had me right, that I didn't get you right? Now, how do you know when you're getting them right? Well, you got it written how to keep them right. He got it written by how you keep him right. He got it written. And David's book, the Psalms in 111, Elder, Mr. Tibbs, he got it written how you keep him right. He got it written. What he said, Elder? Hey, Elder, Mr. Tibbs, what he said we can read in 111, verse number 10. What do you say that we can read? 111, verse 10. What do you say, Elder? What do you say that we can read? In 111, verse 10. What are you saying, WCC? Do talking on the broadcast for tonight. Hey, Mother E. In 111 verse 10, can you get those out? What are you saying that we can read in 111 verse 10 that we can read?
The book of Psalms, chapter 111 verse 10. The fear of the Yahuwah is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments, his praises endure forever.
So the way you get a good understanding in this is by you got to keep what's written in this book. That's how you get a good comprehension of understanding. You got to do his commandments. You got to keep the law. That's all. That's the start of getting a good understanding. Well, I don't understand that. Well, maybe the reason why you understand is because you ain't keeping them up. Now run to end time prophecy, Mother, in Revelation chapter 12, verse 12 through 17, because certain things you need to know. Matter of fact, read verse 9, just get warmed up and skip down to verse 12. See, the reason why we don't have a good understanding on this word, because we are learned peoples of the world through the traditions of men. But we're not learning according to the Bible. Because if you want to learn this word, you got to keep the law. So an end time prophecy is something you need to know that what's going to happen when you start keeping the law. And John is writing from what's going to happen in our day. Revelation 12, pick up verse 9 there, Mother. Then skip down to 12 through 17. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. Then skip down to 12 through 17. Mother, E, Israel, one of the mothers out of camp one. You're on the clock.
Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, and then 12 through 17. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. he was cast into, cast out into the earth, and his ministering spirit was cast out with him. Verse 12. Therefore rejoice, you heaven, and you that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time. Verse 13. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man child. Verse 14. And to the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, and to her place where she is nursed for a time and time and a half a time from the face of the serpent. Verse 15. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. Verse 16. And the earth held the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the blood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. Verse 17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which kept the commandments of Yahweh and have the testimony of Yahweh the Son.
He said the dragon made war with the woman that kept the commandments. He said the dragon made war with the woman. Now who is this woman that the dragon made war with, mother? Let's go to Jeremiah 6, verse 2. So who is this woman that the old serpent, the old devil, he gonna make war with them? We can't stay on a little bit longer, but we'll talk about a little bit more of that tomorrow. But who is this woman that the dragon is gonna make war against? So you think ain't gonna be no war? Let's see who is the dragon gonna zero his eyes on first to make war against the woman. Let's go to Jeremiah 6, verse 2, mother, and find out who's the dragon gonna zero in on first. 6, verse 2 of Jeremiah. What did it say there, mother?
The book of Jeremiah, chapter 6, verse 2. I have likened the daughter of Dr. Judah to a common and delicate woman.
So this woman he going to make war with, mother, is who? According to
Dr.
verse number. That's right. You know the one that's called today, you know the one that's called African American Negro in color? That's the one he going to start. He going to do everything he can to get you from not understanding your name, your dress code, your feast days, your worship day, and they're going to concentrate on old one that's called African-American and Negro because he's the lead tribe. So you know you always got to deal with the lead tribe. See, the lead tribe is Judah of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
But he said something, mother, about that lead tribe, but the lead tribe can never forget what he says in Matthew chapter 15, 1 through 5, and Brother Makai had me 14 through 16 waiting on me. He said something about this lead tribe, the son. He said something to his lead tribe called the southern kingdom, Judah, what you call today African-American Negro and color, and supercool. He said something to them eyeball to eyeball in St. John 15, 1 down to verse 5, and Young Lion have me 14 to 16 waiting on me. What does it say?
You want St. John?
Yes, ma'am. 15, yeah, 15, 1, yeah, St. John 15, 1 through 5, and the Young Lion going to pick it up at verse 14 down to verse 16. What it said, we can read Mother 1 through 5, and the Young Lion going to pick up at verse 14 down to 16. Come on.
Okay. St. John, chapter 15, verses 1 to 5. St. John, chapter 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Verse 3. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abides in the vine. No more can you, except you abide in me. Verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing.
So you say, let you know, you clear, without me, you can do nothing. Oh, well, I got my $10. I got my pearl wax on my pretty car. Easy, yeah. But he said, without him, you can do nothing. So everything
right.
You're looking at now, you keep on mind, mother. Get the precept on that in 2 Corinthians 4:16. He said, well, I can find my $10. Okay, good. But let's see what he says to Paul about the one. He said, well, I can find my $10. I got my turtle wax. I'm rubbing it all around my car right now. Skin and grin and shine. But what did Paul say that was raised boom in Galatians 1:15-16? What did Paul say behind that in 2 Corinthians 4:16? What did he say to that mother that we can all read together?
2 Corinthians 4:15.
Yeah, 4:16, right? Oh, I forgot 16. Now. I'm flipping my mind now.
4:16.
Well, say again, ain't y'all.
4:16.
2 Corinthians 4:16. But
mm-hmm.
We call, we faint not, but though our onward man perishes, yet the inward man is renewed day by day.
Mm-hmm. Boy, that's good. That's good right there. I need that verse for no verse, but that ain't what I want. Well, what did verse 18 say, mother? I mean, that's good. You can't hit this thing once a week. You got to hit this thing according to that 4:16 day by day. But that's another lesson. So you got to stay in this book day by day. But I always find time to open up your good book day by day. But that ain't what I want. I want 4:18. Thank you there, Mother Z. See, Mother Z said, yes, sir, but that ain't what you want. You want that 18, right? Well, you right. See, one thing about it, they keep telling you in that verse written in Acts 15:15, you bleed a seal, but what kind of way? As is written. If it's written, go with it. If it ain't written, don't go with it. If you jump out there and get full of himself and make a statement that you can't read, no, I can't read that seal. I got it. What can I read that at? That's what you gonna put on the table. 4:18, what it say, Mother? 2 Corinthians 4:18, what
it say? 2 Corinthians 4:18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal.
He says, don't focus in on looking on things that you see. You see that pretty car you got? See that pretty house? You see that Coca-Cola bottle shape you got? You see that Michael Jordan look-alike? All that is temporarily. It's what you better be saying about see, which is eternal. And that's what you want to focus in on. Focus in on what you don't see. If you see old pretty house or pretty anything, woo, look how pretty that is. Well, see it in your mind. 2 Corinthians 4:18, that ain't no more temporarily. That's here today, gone tomorrow. But I better make sure I'm focusing what's eternal. And eternal is the word that gonna get you where you want to get. Because Mother made a plan in 1 Corinthians 9. The reason why, focus on things that you don't see, because he told, Paul is telling the northern kingdom, listen, focus on a thing that you don't see, because of 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. What did it say that, Mother, that we can read?
1 Corinthians 2, verse 9.
Yep.
1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, neither have entered into the mind of man the things which Yahweh has prepared for them that love him.
See that? He said, you can't even imagine what the Almighty have prepared for you that loves him. Love is keeping what he got written in his Bible. He said, you can't even, your ears ain't even heard it. He said, your eyes have not even seen it. What I have prepared for you that love him. So now, he's shooting the way you shooting at it. And he makes it plain, Mother, in Luke chapter 12, verse number 21. What can we read, Mother, in Luke chapter 12, verse 21? See, remember one thing. Man might tell you and show you all type of things about this, that, and other, but don't do nothing to break what this man saying that you're reading out of Tape 41. Because they're number temporarily. You won't be prepared for the eternal. Look what he said to the rich man, the rich one. Luke 12, verse 21. What did he say? My read verse 20, Mother, just to make it sound good. Luke 12, 20 and 21. This is the one that can find their $10 and they want to just grab back and jack their flex. What he got written that we can read in the 12th chapter of Luke, verse 20 and 21. What it say?
Luke chapter 12, verse 20 and verse 21. Verse 20. But Yahweh said unto him, thy food this night, thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whom shall those things be which thou hast provided? Verse 21. So is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich toward Yahweh.
See that? So look at it. See, you don't want to put your card in the machine and right now it come back. You got money. But when you put your card in for eternal life, what's going to come back? Insufficient funds. You forgot to get rich in Yahweh. See, you don't want to put your life card in the machine and to come back insufficient funds. See? Like now, you put your card in now and it come back all in. No, you go all type of haywire, don't you? Run all through your house, making phone calls. Can't phone don't dial quick enough, right? But for your eternal life, you don't pay no never mind. Do you know what he got written in St. John 7, verse 6, mother, that we can read? What we can read in 7, verse 6? We're going to start bagging this down and bring our mother Z in to address this national audience. But do you know what he got written in 7, verse 6, that he said those that had an ear to hear? What he said, mother? Hey, mother E, what he said that we can read in 7, verse 6?
St. John chapter 7, verse 6, 3. St. John chapter 7, verse 6. Then Yahweh the Son said unto them, my time is not yet come, but your time is always.
He said, my time ain't come, but your time always ready. The man can deliver you up any time. That's why he made it plain there, Brother Micaiah. In the 95th chapter of Psalms, he said something 7 down to verse 11. He said something plain. He said, your time is always. He said, his time ain't come. See, he knew what he had to do, but do you know what you got to do? Huh? Do you know? Do you know? Your time is always ready. That's why you give it all you got. Every time you come on the network, what we did yesterday, that's the way. What about now? Because our time is always ready. So you got to give it all you got. And keep one thing in your mind. I got to hold that point up there, young line. Hold that point up. I got to pull a rabbit out of here. I said, do all you got. Give me Sirach 28:28-30. Hey, young lion. He said, yes, sir. Whatever you told the young lion, put that to the side. I want you to understand what you just said. That's some good stuff you said. Now, put a precept with that. Let's go to the book of Sirach 43. Pick up verse 28 down to verse 30. What do you say?
The book of Sirach, chapter 43, verse 28 down to verse 30. The book of Sirach, chapter 43, verse 28 reads, how shall we be able to magnify him? For he is great above all his works. 29. The Yahweh is terrible and very great and marvelous in his power. Verse 30. When you honor the Yahweh, exalt him as much as you can, for even yet will he far exceed. And when you exalt him, put forth all your strength, and be not weary, for you can never go far enough.
He said, when you exalt him, give it all you got, because you can never go far enough. He already knows how far you can go, what your limitation is. He already knows. He won't put it in you. And you see, he put it in you, and he precept that bit of to make all your steps right in the book of Sirach, chapter 12. See, he wants you to make sure you make a decision, listen to what he says to the old seer in Sirach 12 and pick up verse 1. We'll read down to get our point. So now listen, we're going to precept that. He said, when you exalt him, do as much as you can, fast as you can. And never be looking for a pat on the back, because you never can go further enough. Now, we're going to precept that what he said in Sirach 12. And pick up verse 1 there, young lion. Let's read a little bit.
The book of Sirach, chapter 12, verse 1, read. Verse 1. When you will do good, know to whom you do it, so shall you be thanked for your benefit. Verse 2, do good to the Yahwali man, and you shall find a recompense, and if not from him, yet from the Most High Yahweh. Verse 3, there can no good come to him that is always occupied in evil, nor to him that giveth no alms. Verse 4, give to the Yahwali man, and help not a sinner. Verse 5, do well unto him that is low, but give not to the unyakwas. Hold back your breath and give it not unto him, lest he overmaster you thereby. For else you shall receive twice as much evil for all the good you shall have done unto him. Verse 6. For the Most High Yahweh hates sin, and where we pay vengeance unto the Yahweh, to the un-Yahweh, we pay vengeance unto the un-Yahweh, and keep them against the mighty day of their punishment. Verse 7. Give it to the good, and help not the sinner. Verse 8. A friend cannot be known in prosperity, and an enemy cannot be hidden in adversity. Verse 9. In the prosperity of a man, enemies will be grieved, but in his adversity, even a friend will depart. Verse 10. Never trust your enemy, for like as iron rust, so is his wickedness. Verse 11. Though he humble himself.
That's good right there. That's good. I mean, I don't want to get more of that. But listen. So you see what he's saying? He said, know who you do good to. He said, know who you do good to. He tell you what not to do. You know? So you find your read when he tell you what to do and what not to do. It's up to you when you understand this thing. Because when you do what he tell you not to do, then all you want to know, why that just got through happening to me? You know, told you why. Now back up and read that verse where he said, when he tell you what to do, he said something in a verse there, young lion, when he tell you what to do, but you just going to do it the way you want to do it, and he told you what not to do. Now, back up to verse number 9. We're just going to back up first. Read verse 9. We're going to keep backing up until we get what he said, because it might have passed those on the inner side what he just said. Verse 9 again, come on.
Verse 9. In prosperity of a man, enemies will be grieved, but in his adversity, even a friend will depart.
Verse 8.
A friend cannot be known in prosperity, and an enemy cannot be hidden in adversity. Verse 7. Give unto the good, and help not the sinner. Verse 6. For the Most High Yahweh hates sin, and will repay vengeance unto the un-Yahweh, and keep them against the mighty day of their punishment. Verse 5. Do well unto him that is low, but give not to the un-Yahweh. Hold back your breath, and give it not unto him, lest he overmaster you thereby. For else you shall receive twice as much evil for all the good you shall have done unto him. Verse 4.
Read verse 5 again. Is you hearing verse 5? Because we have a tendency to do things according to some worldly event. And that worldly event, you know it's wrong, and you do it anyway. Worldly event. But sometimes things happen to you because you pay the book, no, never mind, on what to do. You do it anyway. Listen to verse 5 one more again. One more again. Listen to verse 5.
The book of Sirach, chapter 12, verse number 5 reads, do well unto him that is lowly, but give not to the un-Yahweh. Hold back your breath and give it not unto him, lest he overmaster you thereby. For else you shall receive twice as much evil for all the good you shall have done unto him.
Sometimes you be saying, man, I know I just got through helping old person that worldly done a favor for me, worldly and all that right there. Then, man, all of a sudden, always something happened to me. Always something happened. He tell you what. He tell you what not to do, but let your feelings get in the way, and you do it anyway. He tell you what to do, but ignore that, oh, well, I don't pay him no never mind, but what did the man that made the heaven and earth tell you not to do? See? But then you do it anyway. Read verse 4.
Verse 4 reads, give to the Yahweh man and help not a sinner.
Now, this is what the Almighty sent the angel to tell the seer. To tell them, although he might be, or might be my closest loved one, but if he a sinner and he's not doing the book as written, he tell you what not to do. But you do it anyway, Kadal. That's my brother, my cousin. That's my mother. But then he made one statement. They're gonna bring the mother in. We took the meat off of the elder. Okay, we bring the elder in too then. And Matthew 46 down to verse 50. Okay, all right, WCC. That was you said. All right, we find out in a minute. Read 12, 46 down to verse 50. Let's see what the Almighty said. Hey, young lion, what can you read in Matthew 12, 46 down to verse 50? Let's see. What did he say?
All right. We're going over to the book of Matthew. And we're going to read chapter 12. We're going to read verses 46 down to verse 50. The book of Matthew, chapter 12, verse 46, reads, while he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brother stood without, desiring to speak with him. Verse 47. Then one said unto him, behold, your mother and your brethren stand without, desiring to speak with you. Verse 48. But he answered and said unto him, that told him, who is my mother, and who are my brothers? Verse 49. And he stretched forth his hand towards his disciples, and said, behold, my mother and my brother. Verse 50. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother, and sister, and mother.
You see that? So he leads by example. Yeah, that's called leading by example. He said, your mama, your brother, and all your whole family members outside, without, and they waiting to speak to you. So you know he had to lead by example, because you know your greatest problem going to come and your greatest heart ache going to come from those that's of your family members. Right, right. He turned around to lead by example. He said, who is my mother? Who is my father? Who is my brother? Who is my sister? He said, the ones that he looked at that was doing some dust as his father is in heaven, the same is my mother, my brother, and my sister. You're going to have to make a decision. Is you going to do the Bible or you going to do the flesh thing? That's for you. He tell you what to do that you can read and take 41. That's on you. We're going to bring our elder in as for his closing comments on take number 41. They're going to bring Mother Z and Rima. Tomorrow night, back on the broadcast again at 6 p.m. It's not what we done yesterday. It's what we're doing today. And the same thing tomorrow. He always going to give you something else to add in what he wants you to know. But if you want to do and be in line for salvation, you're going to have to make sure you make a decision according to what you heard, read, and take 41. Say by the Almighty. Hey, Elder Hills, what is your closing thoughts on take 41? You on the clock, come on. See, I did change my mind. I mute the elder. Although I told you he was on mute. Yeah, you're right. Hey, Mother Z. Now, Mother Z, I know you heard a whole lot.
Yes, I
Now, Mother Z said, well, I think that tomorrow, I'll double up tomorrow. Okay, all right, Mother Z. You'll double up tomorrow, Mother Z. I got you, Mother Z. I want to double up everything tomorrow. Oh, that's a good thing. All right, then. So Mother E, so we found out that we got to make a decision according to the Bible. And that's the game changer. We got to make a decision. When we make a decision according to the Bible, we got the protection of our mighty one. But as long as we keep making decisions according to our feelings, we're going to always come up short. But see, you know, it's something I want to bring out, Mother, that we got to understand something, that I want to bring out something. I want to bring out something that it done got past me right now. Some reason it got past me right now. He done picked that verse away from me. I had a verse that he had already had by El Dudley. He's taking that verse away from me right now. So I put it aside. But I'll tell you what I will do. I know I told the young line to have me St. John chapter 15, verse 14 through 16. But Mother, you go ahead and knock that out. Go ahead and knock that out and give me a closing statement behind that. We're going to St. John chapter 15, verse 14 down to verse 16, and the closing statement. And young line, I want you to tell me the 21st chapter of Sirach, 11 through 15, waiting on. So, Mother, hey, Mother E, what can we read? You read 1 through 5. Now, you give me verse 10, 14 through 16, and the closing statement there, Mother. St. John chapter 15, verse 10, then skip down to 14 through 16 and a closing statement, and we'll catch you tomorrow at 6 p.m. You're on the clock. Come out.
Okay. St. John chapter 15, verse 10 and 14 to 16. St. John chapter 15, verse 10. Verse 10 reads, If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Verse 14. You are my friend if you do whatsoever I command you. Verse 15. Henceforth, I call you not servant, for the servant knows not what his Yahweh doeth, but I have called you friend for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Verse 16, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring for fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you.
He said, you thought you just accidentally bumped into this word? No. Accidentally bumped into this broadcast? No. You know? He said everything is orchestrated by him. He said, when you got me right, I got you right. He said, but I call you friend. He said, but listen, you do what I tell you to do, and you are my friend. Don't let mama, daddy, nobody separate you from the understanding and the doing of what's written in this Bible. Hey, Mother E. What's your closing statement behind that? And hold that point there, young line. Give me Romans chapter 8, 1, 2, 31 through 39, then we'll read that verse. So now, Mother E, until we get back on this national audience tomorrow at 6 p.m., what's your closing statement to the national audience? You're on the clock. Come on.
Okay, thank you and praising y'all for the class, and thanking and praising y'all for each and every one that's attending the class, thanking and praising Yahweh that I was able to be in the class tonight, and I just thank and praise Yahweh. And I'm gonna read just one verse, Psalms 111, verse 10. I'm gonna read one verse. The fear of the Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding of all they that do his commandments. His praises endure forever. Hallelujah.
All right, that's Mother E. That's one of the three mothers in Camp 1. So we got mothers in all other five camps too. What you trying to tell you, and she said again, is hold on and don't give up. Hold on. You just got to make a Bible decision. And when you make a Bible decision, you can tell when you make a Bible decision, when you lay down at night and you get some sweet sleep, and whenever you lay down, then you know you're doing all right. But as long as you keep making these worldly decisions, it's up to you. Remember, he said you can never go far enough with the Almighty. So whatever you got to do for some Yahweh, do with all your might. And don't get weary in doing good. Just keep it moving. Because Yahweh is the one to put that blessing on you to move forward. What do you say that we can read, talking to the northern kingdom that's in Rome there, young lion? What do you say that we can read in Romans 8, 1, 2, 31 through 39? What are you telling the Romans, which is the Israelites that scattered in Rome, what do you say to them? Come on.
The book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 1, 2, and skip it down 31 through 39. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 reads, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Yahweh the Son, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Yahweh the Son hath made me flee from the law of sin and death. Verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If Yahweh be for us, who can be against us? Verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of Yahweh's elect? It is Yahweh that justifies. Verse 34. Who is he that condemns? It is Yahweh the Son that died, yes, rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of Yahweh the Father, who also makes intercession for us? Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Yahweh the Son? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Verse 36. As it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Verse 37. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors. Through him that loved us. Verse 38. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come. 39. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of Yahweh the Father, which is in Yahweh the Son. Our Yahweh.
But all that point, before you go to that Sirach, stop off in Mark chapter 10, and he's going to tell you, he'll look you eyeball to eyeball and tell you something in verse 29-30. He's going to look you, yeah, you, eyeball to eyeball and tell you something in Mark chapter 10, verse 29-30. Yeah, you. Mark Mark 10:29-30, what it say?
Going over to the book of Mark, we want to pick it up at chapter 10, and we're going to read verse 29 down to verse 30. The book of Mark, chapter 10, verse 29, reads, "And Yahweh the Son answered and said, Truly I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brother or sister or father or mother, or wife, or children, or land, for my sake, in the covenant. Verse 30. But he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses, and brothers, and sisters, and mothers, and children, and land, and persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life."
Yeah, but read 30 again and emphasize one three-letter word. He says, listen, if you have done what the book tells you to do, he says that you going to receive what when? What when? You got your book here. Are you watching? He says if you have done right in him in verse 30. And emphasize one three-letter word there, young line, and let's see, can you pull it out for this national audience and say that three-letter word twice. Come on.
All right. Mark chapter 10, verse number 30. 30 reads, "But he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children, and land, and persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life."
He said, you're going to receive your food now. You see, don't let them keep telling you, well, you just wait till the up and away and the bye-bye and bye. He said, no. No. He said, I'm going to give it to you now. 100-fold now. If you know you're getting him right, he said you're going to receive 100-fold what time according to that scripture?
Now.
Thank you, Mother Z. Now. See, this man right here is a rewarder. If you step out in him, he said you're going to receive 100-fold. And when he shuts you down, you're going to have eternal life. Because one thing you got to believe in is 2031 of St. John. Where do your belief level supposed to be at in 2031 of St. John? Let's talk about your belief level. What do you supposed to believe? Well, why don't you believe what you can read? St. John 2031, what to believe? Come on.
The book of St. John, chapter 20, verse 30. 30 reads, "And many other signs truly did Yahweh the Son in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book."
What do you read? Verse 31. 2031. Read again,
that young line. The book of St. John, chapter 20, verse 31. "But these are written that you might believe that Yahweh the Son is Yahweh, the Son of Yahweh the Father, and that believing you might have life through his name."
See, the life is in his name. See, that's one of the greatest mysteries in teaching. The life that you're looking for, eternal life, you got to have the name. Now, let me show you, if you don't have the name, let's go to the book of Enoch, chapter 40, verse 6 and 7. First book of Enoch. Let me tell you something. The life is in the four letters. You got to have the four letters in front of your life. YHWH. Don't be confused. We're going to read end time prophecy in the book of Enoch, the seventh from heaven, what he said about if you do not have the name and you mess around and sit yourself down, and now you woke, now he woke you back up for judgment, or you he on his way, then all of a sudden he got something ready, told Enoch to write it. Seven from heaven. Let's see what Enoch wrote in 40, verse 6 and 7. What do you write that we can read there, young lion?
The book of Enoch, chapter 40, verse 6 and verse number 7. Verse 6 reads, "In the third voice I heard pray and intercede for those who live on the earth and pray earnestly in the name of Yahweh of Spirit." Verse 7, "And I heard the fourth voice fending off the Satan and forbidding them to come before the Yahweh of Spirit to accuse them who dwell on the earth."
He said he was beating them off because they said, "Oh, yeah, I know his name is Yahweh. It's too late. The mental spirit was not letting you get to Yahweh no more. You're getting to him now through the Basir and the Sixth Anointed Camp. Got to get the name right. We find out now that the one they're going to say, "Oh, yeah, I know his name is from four letters, Y-H-W-A. It's too late now. You should have got that right before you were shut down. He was bidding you off. He called you a Satanist." Don't you say? He bidding them off before the name. See that? So now you think you don't get punished by not having the name? We just read from Enoch chapter 40. He don't punish you for not having the name. And I need to get a little bit more out of that one. And 41 verse 2. 41 verse 2. Now listen to it. We're going to read 41 verse 2. Watch this. He was bidding you off, but you couldn't get to him. Now watch what happened. Listen to it. And 41 verse 2. What does it say?
You going over to the book of Enoch. You want Enoch chapter 41 verse 2, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, 41 verse 2 reads, "And there I saw the mansions of the elect, in the mansions of the righteous. And my eyes saw all the sinners being driven from there which denied the name of Yahweh of Spirit. And they were being dragged out, and they could not live because of the punishment which proceeded from the Yahweh of Spirit."
How many letters is that?
Four letters. Y-H-W-H, Yahweh.
And what did Enoch say? He said again in verse 40, 41, verse 2 in the closing statement. What did Enoch say he think? See, Enoch, if you read the book of Enoch, he's going to be here on the judgment day to watch this thing, to record it. And this is what Enoch say he think. Verse 40, 41, 2 in the closing statement. Come on.
Verse 40, you say you want verse 40, verse 1 and 2?
Of the same book, 41:2.
All right, verse 41, verse 2. Verse 2 reads, "And there I saw the mansions of the elect and the mansions of the righteous, and my eyes saw all the sinners being driven from there, which denied the name of Yahweh's Spirit. And they were being dragged off, and they could not live because of the punishment which proceeds from the Yahweh of Spirit."
You see that? He said you're going to be dragged away for denying the name. Oh, I don't know. I just can't think of his name. Oh, I just don't know. But we tell you what's going to happen if you don't get it right. He's going to drag you away for denying the name. Young man, until tomorrow at 6 o'clock. Closing statement is all yours. We'll catch you all tomorrow at 6 p.m. for some more B-O-T-T-Y. Thus says Yahweh, come on. Come on there, young lion. You close the statement. What you saying? Here, we ain't going to let him do a closing statement for what you just got through saying. Well, as your radio station, you do what you want to do. But what I'm trying to tell you up front, listen, we got to have this man's name right. We got to do his will. And how you do his will is what you can read. Do not let traditions or men keep you away from helping yourself to help others. When you make a decision, make sure the Bible supports it. That's all you do. Because we found out right now, Enoch, the seventh from heaven, says, those that deny his name, the four letters, when he come down on earth, the one's going to say, I know his name now. It's going to be too late. They're going to be dragged off. You know where they're going? Isaiah 66. To the lake of fire. That's where they're going. Hey, Mother E. Hey, Mother E. In Isaiah 66:24, could you just leave this message with them? Because the big dignitary, they cut off our young line. So leave this with them, Mother, in 66:24. What's going to happen if you don't have a name right? It's best to read this as you. And we just sit back and listen. Isaiah 66, verse 24. What does it say?
Okay, Isaiah chapter 66, verse 24. Isaiah 66, 24. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcass of the men that have transgressed against me. For their worms shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an horror unto all flesh.
He said, you're going to be able to go and watch the peoples that's in the lake of fire. You're going to be able to go and look, rest your loved ones, but he's going to take that spirit out of you, a mother. And one verse in the 21st chapter, verse 3 and 4, well, how am I going to be able to look at my loved ones burning in the fire? No, he's going to do something for you. Hey, mother, what are you going to do for you in 21 verse 4 of Revelation? See, if you don't have the name right and don't have his covenant right, he's going to do something to you. Okay? He's going to drag you up into the fire. And you're going to be able to go see him. But he's going to do something for you. He's not going to leave you in eternity and don't do something for you that you can read. Mother going to read in 21 verse 4. What it says, we can read, Mother, 21, verse 4 of Revelation.
Yes, 4 and not 3.
Yes, 4.
Revelation, chapter 21, verse 4. And Yahweh shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away.
You see that? And he's a just mighty one. He said that gene that caused you to be worried about your brother, worried about your auntie, worried about Aunt Willie Mae, Uncle Buck. He said, I'm going to take that gene away from you, that you'll be able to go look at them burning in the fire, and you would not have that gene to cry. And right now that, boy, my son just worried me. Boy, my son just, why don't you do right, my son? Listen, he going to take that gene from you. You don't have it no more. You better be like that movie called Dr. Sparks. You know, got his death there, was cold-blooded, and somebody had their neck cut off. He going to take that gene that caused you to have all that sorrow and pain for your loved ones. We're doing all this praying for our loved ones. Why don't you do right, my son? My daughter, do right. My brother, do right. He's going to take that gene from you. And you better look at your loved one, the closest thing to you, burning in that fire and worms on them. And you will not even pay it on never mind. That's called a just mighty one. Read one more time, mother, and we'll shut it down. one more time. Read that again. This is end time prophecy. Read it one more time, 21:4, before we relax. Revelation 21:4, read it one more
time. The book of Revelation 21:4. And Yahweh shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away.
See that? Now, you know that's a prophecy because you know it's still death, it's pain, and everything going on. My child has worried me. My child just worries me. See that? My brother worries me because he reminds me of things that we used to do. But I ain't doing that no more. The Bible says I can't do that, my brother, my sister, my cousin. I ain't doing that no more. I ain't eating no more hog. Ain't no hog, and the man tells don't touch it, don't even eat it. But we've been doing it all our life. But I ain't doing it no more.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to go inside, you go right ahead. Because that's where you're going to. But the Almighty going to reach down in my soul and take that gene for me crying and worried about you doing right. He's going to snap it out of my body. And I'm going to be able to look at you burning fire and worms on you, and it won't even pay me no never mind. Now, you know that's got to be the power of him. Yes. That's why I tell you, don't let nothing get in the way for you doing the Bible. Because what he got planned for you, it can supersede anything you might even thought of. Fear, we letting you talk because we going to catch you in something. Well, I ain't worried about you catching me in nothing. But what we saying to you, believe what the Bible says. Believe what Mother getting ready to read in 64:6. Verse 4, we're going to leave it alone, Mother. We're going to call this short because they cut off the young lion. I don't, you know, they do it on their will. That's why we got to get our own radio station, our land, get on every broadcast it is. So whatever Yahweh put in the power for you to do, do it. Then you get to Matthew 25:21 or James 5:20. Well done, my good and faithful servant. What he says in Isaiah 64:4, Mother, we'll cut it right there. That's enough. We don't say it enough for Tape 41. What did he say?
Isaiah 64:4.
Yes, ma'am. What did he say? We don't say enough for tonight. We'll come back tomorrow at 6 and do some more.
Look at Isaiah 64:4. For since the beginning of the world, man have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither has the eye seen, O Yahweh, beside thee, what he has prepared for him that wait for him.
That's